I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Starting a business on your own can be lonely and worrying. Selling online multiplies this issue tenfold. Getting expert help is a great way to reduce anxiety, wasted time, and confusion. The Amazing FBA Mentoring Program is in its fourth year of helping sellers to get started on Amazon. By now, we have former clients who have, starting from scratch, done six figures and even in one case, seven figures a year. Obviously, these are not typical results. These are exceptional people. Nevertheless, we can help you get launched faster, safer, and with a much higher chance overall of success. With clients from Melbourne, Australia, to Manchester, England, we bring a genuinely international perspective. To find out more, go to amazingfba.com/mentoring. Thanks for listening. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is your host, Michael Veazey, from the Amazing FBA podcast, bringing you the best value we can. And we've got a fantastically competent and clear-thinking guest, Danny Carlson, who is from Kenji ROI. Danny is the founder of the Kenji ROI, which does Amazon optimization and listing, an agency that does those things. He's also the host of the Actualize Freedom podcast and what he calls a lifestyle enthusiast living in Bali. And if I lived in Bali, I think I'd be pretty enthusiastic as well. So living the dream. And today we are talking about how to get you closer to living the dream too with EBC or enhanced brand content, also now becoming known as A+ content, which it used to be known as A+ content as well. Let's talk through the name first to make sure that we're clear about this. What is enhanced brand content? What's A+ content? And is there any difference?
Yeah, so a lot of people are still very confused. A lot of people just still refer to it as enhanced brand content. And, you know, I'm sure in many places around the internet, it still is referred to as that. But Amazon has now officially replace the enhanced brand content tool with A+ content, which was previously essentially the same tool, but only for vendor central users. So that is a separate account from your regular seller central account. That is an account specifically for vendors that sell their product to Amazon. So Amazon will make a large purchase order of their product and then Amazon will sell it themselves. I don't recommend using vendor central. They had screwed up a lot of different businesses that I've talked to who have used it. So it's better to sell it yourself on your own Seller Central account. But that's where that tool came from. It's pretty much the same thing, slightly different modules that Amazon decided A+ content tool was better than their old enhanced brand content tool, which no longer exists. So if people are referring to enhanced brand content or EBC, what they're now referring to is A+ content. That is one and the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It feels like sort of going back around for the second time for me because I've never sold on Vendor Central. But one of the reasons for that is because I know so many people who sold on Vendor Central, i.e. you sell the products direct to Amazon as a wholesaler effectively, and then they buy from you. And sometimes they'll order like three units and then sometimes they'll order one unit of one line. And it seems like a horrible deal from what I can tell. Don't do it at home, folks. I know one person who's done a lot of it and done well, and I know about 20 people who've had a horrible experience with it. But yeah, you're right. That's where A+ content was. And I guess for me, enhanced brand content, when it came along to Seller Central, which is where we can sell direct to the consumer as third-party merchants, when that came along, that was obviously a version of A+ content. And then now they've revealed to the world what those of us who saw it on Vendor Central before knew, which is, yeah, it's the A+ sort of more serious set of tools for more commercially minded people, I guess. So the next question then, apart from what is it, is it worth spending time and energy on? Do you think it's actually something that is worth the investment? Because we've already talked about listing optimization. We've already talked about photography. There's a lot of work that goes into both those things. And for people with multiple SKUs, you've got to decide where you put your money and your energy and your focus. So is enhanced brand content worth it? And if so, why is it in a nutshell?
Well, I think it's absolutely worth it, but only if you're going to be doing a professional job. I've actually seen situations where having the A+ content reduces the conversion rate just because it's done really poorly. But in most cases, if you do a professional job of the A+ content, it's going to increase your conversion rate. The number of conversion rate increase really depends on the product category because typical conversion rates in categories vary from less than 5% to more than 20% as a typical conversion rate. So just know that if you do a good job of it, it's very likely you're going to see a solid conversion rate bump. And you can think of that as an investment in your company that just increases the efficiency of everything you do in the company, increases the efficiency of your product launches, of your PPC. Every single customer that comes to your listing is more likely to purchase. That is a reasonable investment into your brand, in my opinion.
Makes sense. And yeah, it's a very good point about the starting point for conversion rates being different by category. And I guess as soon as you say it, it sounds really obvious. I mean, if you're trying to sell a $100 widget that requires a little bit of research online and people are likely to check your website out and maybe need to hear of your brand before they buy, there's going to be a very different conversion or indeed a different customer journey from some $15 widget. So that makes sense. But actually, the classic question is always going to be saying something like, well, how much conversion rate increase did it give you? And the answer is, well, it's all relative to the context of where you were at to start with. So thank you for that simple reminder. But yeah, okay. So, and by the way, I fell into the trap of calling it enhanced brand content. So I've now got to relearn that A+ is now relevant again to Sell Essential. So tell me about the process then. So you just put it, doing it unprofessionally could actually reduce your conversion rate. I guess that comes down to you're judged by your worst image kind of idea again. So how do we go about this in a way that is manageable, but going to produce a professional result?
Totally. So I think the most important overarching concept for A+ content is it's your best opportunity on your Amazon listing to really convey the feel of your brand. Do you want that feel to be a professional premium feel that just gives off the effect of, hey, this is a really professional company that I can trust and stand behind and creates a quality product? Or are you giving off the impression of, this is a 16-year-old kid in his underwear in his basement who has got some stock images from iStockPhoto.com and just hacked something together, right? A lot of people are choosing the second one, but no other place on Amazon really has as much opportunity to create something that is as similar to your own website as possible. So, you know, your main images and your text fields on Amazon are all very templated. You have the white background on Amazon, and that's pretty much all you can do with it. You add some images into the image slots and some text into the text slots. A+ content allows you to create your own configuration of different modules. Some of the modules have, you know, four images across in a row, or just one big banner across the top, and you can add these modules in a different order to create a really good brand effect. And the best way to do that is to ensure that every single image you have is showing a consistent brand image. They should have Every single one of the images, in my opinion, should have some sort of text and graphic design on it, even if it's super, super basic. Otherwise, you're missing out on that opportunity to give that brand feel. You're just filling some images into the white background of Amazon and you're not showing off your brand, right? So have the consistent graphic design on there. Make sure that it has the same fonts and has the same colors and the same styles across all of it. It should look like it is your own website. You got a professional website developer to go ahead and create this branded website for you, right? And once you have that as your foundation, you need to decide, you're coming back to key information optimization. We talked about this in the previous episodes, just identifying whatever is the most key information to show off in your product and then prioritizing that information in the most prominent places. So I'll just give an example of a layout that I very commonly use with my clients. So the top banner is going to be the thing that people see the most. And whatever's at the bottom is what people are going to see the least. So you want to structure it in a way where you're showing the most important information in the top little sections. And the top sections are using modules that very clearly communicate that information. And the bottom modules are going into more detail for your customers who really just need more detail or are really interested in your product. So the top two or three modules should be either banners or just single images, like single image with like left aligned image with some text on the right or something like that. They should not be three image rows or four image rows, things that just go into way too much detail. You want to clearly communicate the two or three very most important things with super clear modules. So I like to do two banners in a row, one big banner up top, one big banner below. I don't add any text into there. I just put all the text on the graphic itself. So the first banner I like to do up at the top, it shows the product and then it has some text on there just stating the product name and a subheading with the real juiciest main benefit of the product. And then it's going to have typically four icons underneath it that clearly communicate the most important benefits of the product with a really clear, concise subheading underneath it. So if it's BPA free, it's going to say BPA free. GMO free, also going to be there. Like whatever is the most important things in that one heading, someone should be able to just like scan that and know that your product has all those most important features of the product. They should know what your product is. And then the second one, I like to do a second heading under that too, just to really punch home one really important thing about their product. So just have like one little heading on the product. Typically, it'll have a lifestyle image on there of the model showing that benefit. But I like to really drive it home with just one really concise benefit statement on that second heading. So in the first two banners, people who are scanning, at least they can see the most important things about the product. And then if people are going to see the rest of it, now we can go into more detail. We're going to go into modules like, oh, the third one I typically do is a left aligned image. So just one image on the left in a square format and then some more text on the right. And this is the first section where there's really a significant amount of text. We have a heading and then we're going to have a text body where we can go into like a bullet point list or, you know, three or four sentences describing whatever that image is about. That's another good point that I haven't mentioned yet is that each section needs to be about one specific thing. So if you have that left aligned image with the text on the right, then that image needs to show exactly what we're talking about on the right. It needs to be very clear. And I like to go one step further even. I like to match the heading of the text section on the image. I like to actually take the text that's in the heading section and then get it graphically put onto the image so that people who are just scanning the images can clearly see what that section is about too. It's got to be super relevant. Then after that, we want to go into even more detail. I like to do either a 3-image row or a 4-image row, kind of depending on how many different points we need to communicate. And same thing, it's just exactly the same as the left line image. We want each image to correspond exactly with the text that's underneath it. The text should be fairly concise, not too wordy. Some products need more words to describe it, but you should only use as many words as you can. And then the final thing that I'm going to say here is this only applies if you have a lot of similar products to this one product. You have a product line of, let's say, 5 variations or 5 related products, then you want to use a special custom module called comparison products. And what that allows you to do is it's kind of like a spreadsheet where you can have 5 images of, you know, your 5 different products, for example. I think it works with a minimum 2, but it works better the more products that you have. And you can put an image in there and then compare it on all these different points. You can choose the different points that you compare it on. So if, you know, the different sizing of them or the different colors, or does this one, is the Bluetooth compatible or whatever it is, you can do check marks or text to just compare them all together. And the magic of this section is that you can actually type in the ASIN and people can click over to those other products. So it makes it much more easy for your customer to find exactly which one of your products is the right one for them. And there's no other thing you can do on your Amazon listing that will put an actual hyperlink to your other products on Amazon or to anywhere. So that's why this is so powerful if you have multiple products.
Wow. Okay. That's an incredibly comprehensive answer. I mean, one of the issues we've got here is, of course, that we're creating primarily an audio podcast, although we do put certain things on video. And it's a visual thing we're talking about. Is there some kind of cheat sheet or explanation or examples of good images, good A+ content? I'm trying to persuade myself to use that content now. Do you have examples of that we could look at? Do you have a link that you could give us to have a look at there?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best place for that would be on kenjiroy.com/blog. And we have a really comprehensive guide on A+ content. So this is basically everything that I'm talking about here. I have visual references of what I'm talking about. I go through all the different do's and don'ts of A+ content. Very, very comprehensive. Let me just see if I can bring up. Yeah, the URL, kenjiroy.com/amazon-a-plush-content-2019.
Okay, that's a beautifully unmemorable. Let me just put a redirect for that. So we're going to do amazingfba.com/Kenji, and then I'm going to say A+. So it's going to be the letter A and the sign plus. I hopefully that will, in fact, let's say A+ and spelt out. That's going to be better. So You know what? I'm changing my mind on air. This is extremely amateurish, folks. Don't do this at home if you're going to create a podcast. I'm going to say amazingfba.com/A+. Let's keep it very simple and we'll redirect to the link and you can give me the link after the show, Danny. I think that's the best thing. So that's really good because I think if you can combine that visual representation with listening to this podcast and having a think about it, or if you're out running or which is my favorite way of listening to podcasts, or doing the washing up, which is another one of mine, or commuting, then don't start poking at your phone while you're commuting, folks. I don't want a death on my hands, but have a listen to this and then go home and have a look at that link. So that's really, there's a lot of detail there. One of the things you're talking about with is modules a lot. So it sounds like you've got a lot of pre-designed stuff like you had with the old EBC, but there's a lot of flexibility about which modules you use and which order you use them in. So it sounds like we've got enough rope to hang ourselves with. So I think it sounds like an area that is really, really important to have some guidance and have a clear structure. And it sounds like really your structure for it is very similar to the headline or the title, I suppose. The headline's an old copywriter way of looking at it. Like the first banner shows the product with the most important juicy benefit. And that's really the thing that most people are going to see. And then I guess there's going to be a drop off, as you said, with every other type of image, right? So what are the other do's and don'ts about this area that you would say are the most important things in your opinion?
Yeah, in my opinion, there is a decent amount of design planning that has to go into this. So we talked a little bit about optimizing the right information in the right place and choosing the right modules. We also need to be very cognizant about having the right images that are actually showing those things. So the planning has to go all the way back to the photo stage. When you're getting the photos done for your product, you also need to hopefully have the plan for your A+ content complete so that your photographer or whoever's doing your photos can take the photos that you need for that as well. Otherwise, you're maybe the things that you're trying to show off, you just don't have the photos for it. Another big mistake that people make, this is actually technically against Amazon's A+ content terms, if you read through the terms, if you have too many of the same images in your main images and your A+ content, it will actually get disapproved. Amazon doesn't like that. Not only that, it is going to have a negative effect on the effectiveness of your A+ content, because if people see an image in your main images, then they scroll down to A+ content. If they see that exact same image, what happens in the brain is the brain now discards it. The brain says, I've seen this, and continues to scroll past. Right? We don't care about something we've already seen. We just don't want to see the repeated same thing. So in order to not trigger that in the brain, we want to use completely different images between the A+ content and the main images.
As you said, a lot of copywriting is not about writing, and it's about consumer psychology. And the same thing is true for photography, I guess. As you say, you don't want to trigger something in the brain that says, oh, you can ignore this. I've seen this before, ignore. So you want to, on the contrary, you might be making the same exact points, and I guess you probably should be making the same exact point in your first or second enhanced brand content modules as you would do in the first or second images. But if you just say in exactly the same way, they're just not going to listen. It's the same basic communication thing. You have to vary up the way you put a message across, right? So that's really important. And also the fact it can get disapproved by Amazon. In the end, a lot of people try and hack around Amazon. And sometimes I can see that there's a conflict of interest between the fact that I want to get my product looking better than everyone else's, and Amazon wants to give the consumers incredible amount of choice, right? There is a direct conflict there. But in a lot of things, if Amazon's telling you not to do it, you want to at least consider, oh, is that because it's bad for the consumer, which it nearly always is? And then you want to consider, oh, is that bad for me and my product, which it nearly always is as well, apart from the aforementioned exception, right? Generally, if you've got a better consumer experience, Amazon's happier and you're going to make more money. So yeah, I like the fact that you've flagged that up. I think what that says to me is that somebody hasn't planned for A+ content in their image marketing planning, which is not a big crime, because a lot of us have only just getting to grips with A+ as opposed to enhanced brand content, which is quite different. And also you have to get trademarks and you have to get approved for brand registry, which we're not going to get into here. But broadly speaking, it's not as bad as you think, folks. If you can get a UK or EU trademark, then you can often get brand registry to a limited degree anyway in the USA, probably enough to use A+ content. And look, that's the sort of thing that's going to vary by the month at the moment. So I'm not swearing to that, but that's a different issue. But even if you haven't planned for it initially, you should have the foresight to say this is an investment in the future income stream and go and spend some more money, in my opinion. Is that something that you advise clients to do if they haven't got A-plus content already?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So for the clients that do have their Amazon brand registry, or they're getting their ducks lined up, they've applied for their trademark, they, you know, reasonably in short time in the future, a lot of time they don't have their trademark done yet, but they're getting photos done with us already, and they know that they're going to invest in that in the future, then they're going to go ahead with the A-plus content at that time, because there are economies of scale when you get the extra photos done at the same time, right? So if you're planning ahead, then you're getting your listing created, you should probably just go ahead and get extra images done for your enhanced brand content beforehand and just make some savings there. There's always savings in photography when you can have the same models and use the same shoots and, you know, get it all done together. And it's the most leverage when you can choose your top performing products. So, you know, you don't have to go and just create enhanced brand content for A-plus content for every single product. Just choose your top performing two or three products and get those done. And that's going to have the biggest effect, right? If one product makes up 50 or 60% of your revenue, then it makes a complete sense to go invest a few hundred or $1,000 to get A-plus content done on that, because you're going to make it back in a month or 2 months of increased conversion rate. Whereas, you know, some of your lowest performing products, maybe you don't know if it's going to perform well yet, then it doesn't necessarily make sense. Or a product that you're just launching and your budget's really tight, you don't have the money for it, let it prove itself before you know that it's worth investing into A-plus content.
Exactly. And I think you put your finger on a very important strategic point there, which is there is a difference between efficiency and risk reduction and allocation of capital. I would argue the latter is more important. And what I mean by that is this, that everyone obsesses, and even otherwise people he should know better, in my opinion, obsessive with getting their product out of the gate, their very first product ever on Amazon. And often this is very, you know, high earning, very intelligent people with good business skills as well, but they still want to do the same thing and will get a perfect product first time. They want to optimize the hell out of it, and they want to spend a lot of money on it if they've got the cash. Obviously, there's a lot of other people who want to spend nothing on anything, and I think they're a bit doomed, frankly, because being cheap is not going to work very well on Amazon in 2020. Everything's too optimized. But those guys are going to go the opposite extreme. And instead of which, as you said, it is going to cost you more money in a one way of looking at it if you don't do things in a quote efficient way. But I think there's nothing wrong with spending $500 on product photography, get it out there, see if it proves itself, and meanwhile be applying for trademarks if they're needed, or whatever you need to do to get brand registry, because that's going to shift slightly over time, I suspect. So I want to keep this reasonably evergreen content. But, you know, guess what? It's taken off really well. You can go back through it. You've got brand registry, or it's about to be granted to you. And you can go back, spend another $500 on the product. As you said, that's still going to make sense in terms of return on investment. But what you're doing is you're putting your time and money and cash focused only on those things which are actually proven, rather than you think they're going to do well. And even if you're a really experienced private labeler, I would say, you know, one in five products, roughly speaking, it's the 80-20 rule, applies to whole of universe, right? That if one in five products, or 20%, is likely to do well, and you aren't necessarily going to know with a magic crystal ball which those are going to be. So I really like that mentality that you've just touched on there. I think that's really important, because otherwise people get into the idea of thinking, oh, well, I haven't done this properly, I'll do this for my next product, but I'm not going to bother with enhanced brand content, or sorry, A-plus content images for this one, because we haven't done it in a quote perfect way. I just think that's a corporate mindset. The things that get you fired in a corporate situation, i.e. being inefficient with your company's money, are the opposite of what you need to do as an entrepreneur, which is iterate, 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 right? Anyway, this is my rant on that point. If you got any further thoughts on that, because obviously you work a lot with owners of brands, and they have to think in this kind of way.
Oh, absolutely. There's a reason why minimum viable is a business principle that pretty much across the board is seen as the right way to do things. And especially first-time entrepreneurs find themselves, some of our clients are first-time entrepreneurs, and they have gotten some reasonable success. Just, you know, they made some good moves, but they still don't understand this principle of minimum viable. And from my experience of building this business for the past 4 years, I have come up with offers that I was sure were going to perform really well with the audience of the Actualized Freedom Podcast or with Kenji ROI, and completely flopped. I actually had one recently where I was so sure that my audience was going to love this and it was going to be great. But luckily, I had the minimum viable mindset, and I wrote one single email with the offer, and I wasn't actually going to go ahead and put together the pieces to deliver the offer unless a certain amount of people purchase the offer. And not one single person purchased the offer. And I'm so glad I didn't go spend, it would have taken me at least 20 hours to get everything together to actually, you know, deliver on this offer. And I'm so glad I didn't do it. But whereas about 1 year ago, there was an offer that I just, it was on a whim. I just had this idea. It's like, oh, like maybe this will work. You know, it could be a good way to add a little bit to our bottom line. And I sent out one email and I closed more than $30,000 of business with that one email. And I did not think that people were really going to resonate with that. And that is something that we continue to offer to our audience today. So minimum viable, like what is the smallest amount of effort I can put in to test to see if it's worth putting in more effort, applying that principle to your business in every fashion you possibly can, in my opinion, is really, you can't get away with not doing that over the long run in your business, or else you're just going to be wasting so much time on things that are not moving the needle forward.
Thank you for that great example. I mean, I think it's really, really good. I mean, we're getting into business strategy, and I think actually, I don't apologize for that. These days, with both podcasts, Amazing FBA, which is more sort of tactical driven, and you've given us lots of really, you know, nitty gritty, actionable stuff. And Amazon sellers love that stuff; they can't get enough of it. But in the end, if you are trying to optimize something that doesn't exist yet, you're kidding yourself and misunderstanding the English language. Optimize means to make as good as possible. But if something doesn't exist yet, you can't make it anything. You need to put it out into the world and let the world have its say. And people are forever trying to achieve a specific price point that they want to sell their product at, for example. That's a classic newbie error. And I say to them, look, you don't get to determine the price point. The market will tell you the combination of the price point and the volume that you can sell at. Yeah, sure, you can sell anything for $100 that you normally sell for 20, but you'll probably sell one every 2 months. Or you can sell it for $10, and you may, if everyone else is selling it for 20, then you'll sell maybe, you know, one every 10 minutes if it's really, you know, coming up to Christmas, like it could be 100 a day or something. But that combination of the two, the market is going to tell you. So I really like that. And I think with images, again, you touched in the previous episode on optimizing your main image, get several images done, and then split test your way to which image is going to convert the best. And sometimes the difference is not subtle with image optimization. And this isn't strictly about enhanced brand content or A-plus content, but I have seen this situation recently in the mastermind where we all just ripped apart somebody's listing because they said, I've got a problem with negative reviews. The people who want to, who are buying this product want it to be brutally effective. It was a sort of supplement that people could take, and they want it to be brutally effective, whereas what I'm gearing it to is it's not harmful and it's not harmful to the environment. So we just changed the listing around in very simple ways and just redid the images, so banged people over the head with the fact that this was environmentally friendly and non-toxic. And his conversion rate went up from 30% to 40% the 1 month later. And he does quite a lot of business on that listing, maybe a few tens of thousands. So it was reasonably statistically valid. So these are not subtle differences you can get sometimes by iterating as well. So thank you for that. I think that's a great place to leave it, because we've tied in images and iterating on you know, your products as a mentality. Before we leave it, are there any other things you think about enhanced brand content that we really should think about as basic principles or do's and don'ts that you've seen?
I mean, I think we covered it pretty well there. As long as you have branding across all the different images, the branding is consistent across the images, and each section is about one specific thing. The image aligns with the text and text aligns with the image, and you're optimizing from top to bottom, the most important things to the least important things. You're going to create some good enhanced brand content, AKA A-plus content. So those are the overarching principles. Easier said than done. Maybe you're going to have to work with some copywriters or some graphic designers and some photographers. Kind of, you need those three elements in there. But it's well worth the effort, because it's an investment in time and money that you make once that is going to pay dividends for potentially years to come if that product continues to perform well.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's very easy to forget that everyone gets obsessed because they spent so much money on it, and you can get a real physical widget as a result that they get obsessed with the idea of your product is your asset. Whereas in fact, your photography, and not just the photography, but the structure of the images and the words and image interaction, whether that's in the infographics or the actual listing itself, that is actually kind of your biggest asset. It's like having an amazing sales letter that is an asset. Just because it's not tangible doesn't mean it's not, you know, real value. And I think people are prepared to spend real physical money on physical products, which, by the way, is why physical products is such a great business model. I mean, the conversion rates on them are so amazing because there is something very real about people have trust the idea of I give $20 now and I get this widget developed, you know, and given to me tomorrow. But we can fall into the trap as marketers, I think, of doing the same thing. And actually, the value to us a lot of the time is in the stuff that gets the sale, not the widget. As long as the widget does the job very well and matches up to the, you know, the colors and specification that you show in the listing, it's actually the value for us as marketers is in the set of images in the listing. So thank you so much for walking us through all that stuff. Just want to bring everyone's attention to a couple of very valuable free bits of information that will help enhance the podcast, because it's not an easy place sometimes to deal with a visual thing like a listing, let alone enhanced brand content, or should they say A-plus content. The first thing is we've got a redirect to a very good blog article that Dan has written at amazingfba.com/A-plus, just spelled out A-P-L-U-S for sugar. And then the other thing is the free listing analysis, which is, I understand, but created by live operators that check over 50 optimization points. Very professional job for that. And that's at amazingfba.com/Kenji, K-E-N for November, J-I. Any parting thoughts, Danny, around A-plus content or any of the other things we talked about with listings?
I mean, my parting comments would be, obviously, I have a biased opinion on this because I have an agency built around listing optimization, but to spend thousands of dollars on launching a new product with inventory and launching and all this stuff, and then go ahead and skimp on your Amazon listing optimization, just try to pinch every penny there, is completely nonsensical. It's like buying a sports car and then just getting some super worn down tires that have no tread left, right? You're just going to crash your sports car. It makes no sense. So listing optimization is the foundation. Put the time and the energy and the financial resources you need in order to make sure that your foundation is solid in order to build your business off of.
Amen to that, as they say. I really couldn't put it better myself. I think, the value of a listing is huge. And if you overlook that, you've missed the point. So thank you so much, Danny. Really clear-minded help there. And particularly exciting to hear about the A-plus and your very clear-minded approach to it, because it's one of those things where we have a lot of options now, which sounds really good. But actually what it means is a lot of people are now sitting around scratching their heads going, how the hell do I structure this? So I'd really urge people to check out the blog post as well. But that's been already very, very helpful. So Danny, many, many thanks for coming on the show.
Cheers. Pleasure to come on. And hopefully that was helpful.
That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.